we want to look at actually what revival looks like in the Bible, because some people think revival is loud music. Some people think revival is maybe just this moment where you lay hands on people and they fall over. Some people think revival may be just really good buildings and packed crowds, but that's not what revival, the Bible says revival looks like. Now, all of those things can be there and evidence of a revival, but it is not in and of itself the revival. Are you hearing me? What makes us, I've said this many times, I want to say it again this morning. This church's vibrancy and freshness is not in the building. Its relevancy and its life does not come through even the worship or the preaching, as much as I believe in the worship and the preaching. But this church's freshness and vibrancy in God, the atmosphere that comes back to your relationship and my relationship with God. Can anybody say amen? Because if you come in kind of like, you know, then what you're going to get out of church is really what you brought to church. And I want to encourage us, let's be alive under God. Let's not rely on the worship or the preaching to get us somewhere. Let's bring what we have in ourselves and bring it to the house of God and bring our faith to believe God to do something even greater in Jesus' name. Amen. So when the song service is going, it's not just relying on the music to get us pumped up. We've already come in pumped up, ready to go, on fire for God. Can't wait to work. I've been waiting all week for this. Amen. When it comes to the preaching the word, it's not just sitting there going, what do you got today, preacher? Are you going to move me? No, no. You're on the edge of your seat, spiritually speaking, ready and hungry. So let me show you what it looks like in the Bible. It says in Acts chapter 8, we talked about this last week. Those who've been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. Why? Because people were persecuted. How many want revival now? There was persecution. And it says, as a result of the persecution, because there was a move of God, that people's lives were affected. People lost their lives. There was great harm. There was great angst. There was great tension between the religious culture, the Roman Empire in that day. And as a result of it, there was a scattering. Even who became the Apostle Paul was a religious zealot and was killing anybody who called himself a Christian. And so they scattered. How many want revival? But how many know if you scatter people and they've got a spirit of revival on them, you may scatter them, but you will not stop them. So Philip goes from where he was to Samaria, but because he's in revival, he just starts telling people, whether he's here, whether he's there, I'm just going to tell you about Jesus. And there he proclaimed Christ. And the Bible says here, look at the evidence of it. In the Samaria, when crowds heard and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For which shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and those who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was great joy in that city. I actually think there's the ingredients of a great move of God right there. Number one, there's going to be a scattering. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be resistance. I mean, you think about Joel Osteen, arguably the largest church in the United States of America. And here is people beating up on Joel Osteen. Without a doubt, in my opinion, the sweetest, nicest, kindest pastor in all the United States. I can't be Joel Osteen. I can only be me. Jesus loves you. I can't be that. I can be who God's called me to be. But if you can pick on Joel Osteen, how many of you can pick on anybody? Amen. There's always going to be that side of any move of God. There's going to be resistance. Amen. The second thing that is there must be the preaching of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the... Okay, that was your chance to jump in. That faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word. Then there's signs and wonders. Listen, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel does not chase signs and wonders. Signs and wonders chase the preaching of the gospel. We must preach Jesus. We must preach Jesus. We must preach the good news. And as we preach the good news, there are signs and wonders and miracles. Anybody say amen? Then, of course, the devil gets defeated. That's a good day. To hell with the devil. I say this many times, and I make no apology for it. The devil's a mongrel. I hate him. Come on. I hate how he lies to people. I hate how he rips people off. I hate how he's blinded the minds of people so they could not see the marvelous light of the gospel. The Bible says God is good and the devil's bad. Amen. And then the last thing is, there's great joy in the city. And I love that, because at the end of the day, I believe what brings joy to Hampton Roads is the church. I believe we're the answer. I believe we're not just a part of the answer. We are the answer. I mean, you can have a well-organized city and a well-managed city and a well-manicured city, but if we don't have a church and preaching Jesus and alive under God, the whole city will be clean and manicured and managed, but it's still going to hell. We have the answers. Amen? And there's great joy. So the church brings joy. And so we talked about prophecy last week. Today I want to give you just two simple thoughts. You ready for it? And then we're going to pray for people. Who's going to believe God? People are going to get healed in this service. I've got, look at all this anointing oil here. We're going to be anointing people with oil and believing God for them. A couple of things I want to say before I get praying for people. Number one, and I want you to hear it very carefully, and I want you to understand it. It is always God's will for healing. It is always the will of God for you to be healed. It is never the will of God for you to be sick. And if you don't believe this, somehow you might think God's trying to teach you something through your sickness. I've heard people say, well, I just want to glorify the Lord in my sickness. Well, if you really want to glorify Him, why don't you get cancer and die? I mean, that's a ridiculous way to think. Are you hearing me? Jesus always prayed for people to be healed. Now, God can teach us anything through any suffering, and God does work good in all things, but you've got to know and you've got to have this settled theologically that it is always the will of God for you and I to pray for people who are sick to be healed. I would never not pray for somebody who's sick thinking it's God's will for you to be sick, therefore I will not pray for you. It is always the will of God for people to be healed. Can anybody say amen to that? Not just clap now. Listen to me. Can you say amen to it? You've got to theologically understand, fundamentally understand. You've got to have a firm foundation by which we operate in a move of God. And it's always God's will for people to be healed. Look at Acts 10:38. It says, "And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, with power. He went around doing good, healing all." Everybody say all. "Who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him, healing all." It is always the will of God to be healed. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns. Let me say all the towns. "And the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming" what? "Good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness." He did not say, well, no, I will not pray for you because this is one of those sicknesses that is God's will. It says he healed every disease and every sickness. You might think, well, you know, maybe it's God's will for someone to be blind. It is never the will of God for somebody to be blind. Jesus prayed for blind people and their eyes opened. It is never the will of God for you to have cancer. It is never the will of God for you to have diabetes. It is never the will of God for you to live in sickness. It is always the will of God for you to be healed. You got to believe that. Second thing I want to say is that Jesus died for our healing as well as our sins. This one's important to me. I am very, very concerned that we in the church don't understand this. I'm going to ask you, hold that for a sec, Josh, would you? How many believe it is the will of God for every person on planet Earth to be saved? Well, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But it's still based on the individual to make that decision to do that. But we know that Jesus went to the cross for everybody. It doesn't say, well, you know, there are some people who aren't going to go to heaven and they're just predestined never to go to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that, doesn't teach that. Are you hearing me? And so some people, well, I'm sorry, I can't offer you salvation and for why Christ died, because you're one of those who God has excluded. How many of God has included everybody? The blood of Jesus is for everybody. Do you believe that? Okay, as true as that is, you don't say to someone, sorry, you're just going to go to hell. There's no hope for you. Are you hearing me? No matter how bad they've been, no matter how self-righteous in their own eyes they are, God has died for everybody. Do you believe that? He's given us open access, unrestricted access into His presence. Amen? Now, as true as that is, I want to say this is important. And I want you to get this. I've got to look at my point, make sure I say, Jesus died for our healing as well as our sins. Isaiah chapter 53. Sorry, I got to say that with my American accent. Isaiah. Is that better? Isaiah. I think Isaiah sounds more anointed. Isaiah makes a whole lot more sense to the rest of you, I know. Yet he himself, watch this, bore our sickness and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punished, listen to this, punishment for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his what? Wounds. So the Bible speaks prophetically through the prophet Isaiah and talks about there shall come a Savior that'll forgive us of our sins. And watch it now. This is what's called what's in the atonement. It's a theological subject. I don't have time to go into it, but this is what you do need to know. Jesus did not only die for your sins, and he died for everybody's sins, but he also died for your health and your healing. And he died for everybody's health and everybody's healing. There is no exception. There is no clause. And you got to know, how many believe you're saved today through faith in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven? How many believe that? Well, as true as you believe that, you also got to believe that you are healed because of the work of Calvary in Jesus' name. And it's for every single person. I don't like it when I see somebody not knowing the will of God when it comes to healing. Jesus not only died for your sins, but he died for your sickness. Let me give you one more verse. I love this verse. This is all I like this verse. Come here, check this out. I got to get back up here. Psalm 103, verse 2. Verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Mind, praise the Lord. Will, I will. Will, get your will into gear, and you better start willing. Soul, get your soul into gear, and you better start praising the Lord. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Some of you need to let your emotions engage. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, praise Him. And look what it says. And forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your sins. How many are glad He forgave all your sins? How many are glad He's forgiven the sins you're yet to commit? Oh, I got very quiet right there. It says, forget all of your benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals some of your diseases. What does it say? All of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Here's what I want to say. I'll make it loud. I'll make it clear. Before I pray for a single person, it is always the will of God for you to be healed. And Jesus died just as much for your healing as he did for your sins. I am not diminishing forgiveness of sins. Frankly, there'd be no point being healed physically and not being healed spiritually. I'd rather be healed spiritually than being healed physically. But the good news is you don't have to choose. Amen. And sometimes I pray for people and I'm not so sure they're even convinced it's the will of God for them to be healed. I think maybe they somehow think God's trying to teach them something through it. Yeah, how to get healthy. How to get healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that we got doctors. I thank God for doctors and I'll take healing any way it comes. Amen. But I want to tell you, it is always the will of God. And you got to believe this. You got to know this in Scripture, as I just showed you, that the work of the cross was not just for forgiveness of your sins. It would have been enough. It would have been enough. Amen? But Jesus, the Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. Amen? So I got thinking as a pastor, and I've been a pastor now for, 34 years. an ordained minister preaching the gospel for 34 years. Some of you aren't even 34 years old. And that's as long as I've been preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. Over many years as a pastor, you kind of look, well, what are the reasons why some people don't receive the healing? I mean, maybe the Bible has something to say about what could stop a person receiving healing. I wrote down probably, Gabe, would you think that's a pretty good list of things, of the reasons? I mean, there's lots of things like, you know, but here are the big things that I think often are reoccurring. And number one is bitterness. Do you know bitterness can block you from receiving a miracle? Did you know that? Bitterness turns up in your body and makes you more sick. I mean, if you were sick before, but now you got bitterness, you're a whole lot. I mean, you're like, it literally is a toxin to your physiological being. It is something that starts in your heart, not your physical heart as an organ, but your heart being your soul, your heart being you, and actually becomes toxic and becomes cancerous to your body. There are many times with psychologists and doctors who will tell you that their sickness was a result of an unresolved bitterness that we could never get over. Because it eats away at you. The Bible says a broken spirit drieth the bones. When you're just bitter, when you're just broken, when you're just crushed, and you just can't get past that thing that happened to you, it actually causes you to get sick. Another thing is unforgiveness. Would you agree with that? In Ephesians, it says 4 verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Unforgiveness, Mark 11 verse 25, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. You know, one of the things I believe that can cause someone not to receive a healing is they actually have got unforgiveness. That bitterness has actually manifested, well, I could never forgive that person. Well, the Bible says God can only forgive you to the measure in which you're able to forgive others. If God forgave you of your sins, then you cannot hold someone to a higher standard. Come on. Jesus went to the cross, and we've got to, and forgiveness is not condoning what the other person did to you. It's not validating. It was wrong what happened, but the gift of forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. It gets rid of the bitterness. It gets rid of the angst. And here's another reason, just sitting in judgment. People who judge others. This is like a self-righteous thing where you're consumed with your own self-righteousness. And the Bible says in Matthew 7 verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. I'm believing God through the stream that people are going to get healed. I'm believing God even through the broadcast of this TV show. The people who are watching this TV show are literally going to be physiologically, spiritually, and emotionally healed. Anybody believing with me? I'm believing right here in this service. We're going to lay hands on people in just a moment. And let me give you the last one. These are some of the big ones over 34 years that I've discovered that are perhaps reoccurring. And here's the last one, unconfessed sins. Now I'm talking to Christians now. And I want you to notice what it says in James 5. This is Jesus' half-brother. Imagine being Jesus' half-brother. How many know that's a bad day right there? I mean, imagine mom and dad saying, Jesus! I mean, imagine saying to James, rather, James, why can't you be more like your brother? Because he's God, mom. Imagine playing hide-and-seek with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, James, you go hide. I'll count the 10 and find you. 1, 2, 3, you're behind the tree. Oh! I thought that was funny myself. Look what James said, James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? That you may be what? Healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, I actually believe with all my heart, what the devil wants to do is to get you to live in bitterness, unforgiveness, in judgment of others, because then you don't have to look at yourself. And as long as you're looking out the window, you don't have to look in the mirror. Come on, somebody say amen. And here's what he wants. If nothing else, he's going to say, I'm going to trap you in a sin. And it's going to be dark that no one else can know about it. And if you ever told anybody else about it, you'd be so embarrassed. So you keep it to yourself, and now you've got this thing that's in darkness, in deception. But the Bible says we're to bring into the light the darkness. And the Bible says if we would confess our sin, come on, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here is James taking it a step further. And James goes, if you can bring that which is in darkness into the light and confess that sin, then you will be healed. Did you hear that? Man, if I were the devil, I'd be getting someone to think, this is your dark thing. You can't tell anybody else. But the Bible says, if you do bring that to the light, then healing's coming your way. Did you hear that? Now, you got to be very wise and very careful. Now, go around telling everybody, but choose someone that you could trust and say, hey, I'm struggling. This is an area. It's the very thing the devil wants you to keep hidden. Are you hearing me? Well, you got somebody that you would trust that would keep the confidence and be able to bring it into the light, because once it's in the light, the devil has lost his hold and you get healed. Are you hearing me? Hey man, I'm struggling in this area. I got this going on. I got this thought. I've got this mindset. I've got this tendency on my more vulnerable days. I just need to bring it into the light, and then healing is coming your way. There are a few of the things, and I've been doing this for 34 years, and I want to pray for people. I've seen many sick people healed. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. I have prayed for people who literally had full-blown HIV, and I've seen them healed. I have prayed for a baby that was dead, and before my very eyes, I've seen that baby come back to life. I have prayed for people with nerve damage, permanent nerve damage, and I've seen them healed. I prayed for people with all sorts of sickness and illness, and I'm believing today for miracles. This is what we're going to do. I've got a bunch of oil. I'm going to ask our pastors to come to the front right now. Would you please come? All of our pastors, would you please come and grab this oil? I'll hold it. You just grab one. And I'm going to ask people who need healing to literally just stand where you are seated, because we're going to get to you and we're going to worship God. Matter of fact, everybody who needs healing in your body today, would you please stand to your feet? Come on, all over the building. And I'm going to ask, and we're going to worship God together. And I want the rest of us to remain seated so we know who's believing God for the miracle for healing. And we're going to worship God. We're going to build an atmosphere of faith here today. And I know if I'd ask you to come to the front, there wouldn't be enough room to handle you all. So this is what happens. This is what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. Maybe let's just sing a different song than what we planned to sing. Let's sing one of the worship songs we sung earlier. And I want our pastors to go. And I want to, this is what we're going to do. The Bible says, if anyone's sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Well, these are the pastors of Wave Church. These are the great leaders, a part of our team. And it says, we're to pray the prayer of faith. And we're to anoint you with oil. And then it says, and the Lord shall raise them up. By your standing, you're saying, I need a miracle. We're now going to come, and you've done what you've need to do. You've stood. Now we're going to come. We're going to anoint you with oil. You've done your part. We'll do ours. We're going to anoint you with oil. And it says, listen to this, and to pray the prayer of faith. So we're not going to pray a little, Lord, please heal them. We're going to pray a prayer of faith. And then, so you've done your part. You've said, I need healing. We'll do ours. Anoint you with oil. Pray a prayer of faith. And it says, and the Lord shall raise them up. Are you ready for that? So come on, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come to you right now. We're going to begin to worship God right together. And let's begin to pray. Stretch your hand out toward these people. The worship team is going to lead us. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's lay hands on these people. Thank you. I'm going to ask for our community group leaders to come up here as well. Community group leaders. We have so many people standing. Our pastors are doing the right thing. They're taking their time, but the need is great. And I want to make sure that nobody misses out. I'm going to ask all our community group leaders to go into the upper section. And I want to make sure that we're praying a prayer of faith. That's it, Tim to Josh. That's it. Come on. That's the way. I don't want anybody to miss out. Praise the Lord. I'm asking everybody else to remain seated so we know who needs a miracle and who we're praying for. But please, as you're being seated, let's worship God. Let's open heaven. Come on, let's open heaven. Don't just sit there and watch. Let's engage. Let's believe God for miracles. This is beautiful. The Holy Spirit's touching people. The Holy Spirit's touching people. Come on. Come on. There are people here and you physically are in pain right now. And I just believe that God's going to take the pain away from you. Physically, you're in pain right now. Where are you? Just physically, you physically have pain. Okay, only those, no one else. Quickly come. Quickly come. There was about maybe a dozen at the most. Only those. Nobody else come. Nobody else come. Because this is a word of knowledge that's specifically for these people. Amen. Nobody else come. That's it. No one else come. That's it. All right, just the people who lifted their hand, they said they're in pain. Amen. We're going to believe God. I know all of you are so hungry, you'll come for anything. And that's awesome. I love that about you. But this is a specific word of knowledge for people who just have physically in pain. Just want to, I tell you something, I got faith in my heart for you. That not only will the pain leave you miraculously right now, but even the source of it will be gone. Do you know if there is, and I mean this now, and I'm not saying there is, but search your heart. David said, listen to what David said. Are you hearing my pastor's heart? I'm not saying this is you, but this is what David said. He goes, Lord, search my heart and see if there's anything in me that would be offensive to you. And lead me to the way of everlasting. You know, maybe today even take a moment and say, Lord, that just, is there anything I need to let go of? Is there anything I need, anyone I need to forgive? Am I sitting in judgment over somebody else? And just let it go right now, before I even pray for you, let it go in Jesus' name. Because God wants that out of your life. It's a key to a healing for some people. Not for everybody, but for some it is. Amen. God's touching you right now, man. Come here. Come here. What's your name? AJ. AJ. How long have you been a Christian? About 5 years. Yeah. But you're home now, aren't you? You turned your back. Amen. When did you come back? How long ago was that? About a month ago, when you started coming here, you said you want to get it right. I want to say this to you, AJ. Shame off you, man. Shame off you. There's no shame on you. God loves you, and God forgives you. Amen. Amen. God's healing you emotionally. Amen. AJ, do me a favor. Would you lift your hands toward heaven? Church, can you stretch your hand out? Lift both hands, AJ. Lift both your hands. It's just a sign of surrendering to the Lord. Father, thank you for this great young man. Thank you, Lord, that you saved him. Thank you, Lord, that you brought him home. We thank you for healing now for AJ. Let him experience the power of God. Let him know, Father, that he knows that he knows that he is forgiven and he's loved and he's called by you in the name of Jesus. That's it, man. Just receive now. Just receive. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Father, for every person standing here that's in pain, church, stretch your hand out. We believe right now, pain to leave their body, to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for miracles. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pain, leave him now in the name of Jesus. Pain, leave now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the pain leave right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for a miracle. Your word says we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I thank you, Lord, for the power of God right now in Jesus' name for each and every single person right now. Let the pain go, Lord, in Jesus' name. There it is. Receive it right now. Receive right now. Receive right now in the name of Jesus. Through the laying on of hands, God can take away the pain now in the name of Jesus. Now, there it goes, right now. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, the pain, not just the pain, but the cause of it to leave his body right now. Command it. I command it. I command it in the name of Jesus. Bow your knee to the name above every other name. Father, I thank you for that pain to be gone. Amen. Better and stronger than it was before. In the name of Jesus. You will not have to live with this. You will not have to manage this. You will not have to have a lifestyle adjustment. The Lord has risen with healing in his wings. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for miracles. I thank you for miracles. I thank you, Lord. Right now, that's it. Receive. That's it. Just receive. There it is. There it is. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. Wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. There it goes. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Just receive. Receive God's goodness. Amen. Father, thank you. Oh, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Touch her now. Touch her. Touch her, Lord. All over her body. In the name of Jesus. Miracles, Father. Miracles. In the name of Jesus. Can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Come on. Give God some praise. Thank you. Wonderful. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen. Just look to heaven. Don't look at me, but look to heaven. Father, you're a merciful God. You're a compassionate God. You're a God that heals. Thank you for the finished work of Calvary. And thank you, Lord, that this is finished today in the name of Jesus. Amen. The power of God's on you, man. The power of God's on you. Amen. Come on. I believe God's setting you free. We read about one of the things we read about in that whole move of God. The enemy's power is broken. So that the enemy's had a foothold over your life. But he's losing strength and he's lost his grip. And I believe today's the day of breakthrough. Are you ready for it? Father, I thank you that the devil is defeated. I just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for supernatural breakthrough in and over my brother's life. Thank you, Father. The enemy has lost his foothold in this man's life. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God's given you great compassion. Look at me. God's given you great compassion. Sometimes you get so overwhelmed with that compassion, you don't know what to do. You feel helpless. You feel like there's nothing more you can do. And this is what I want to say to you. The Bible says a friend, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible also says sometimes faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I just want to say to you, be a good friend. And God's given you that heart, not just so you would feel all this emotion, so that you could bring answers and healing and wholeness. Sometimes it's praying for somebody. Sometimes it's saying, you know what? You just need to stop that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. And you've experienced tremendous forgiveness, and God's done wonderful things in your life, and God just wants you now to pass that on. Amen. It's more than just an emotion of a feeling of hopelessness. It's actually God stirring something up inside of you to bring healing to other people's lives. I want to say this. I don't know you. I don't know your name. I'm sorry if I should know your name, but I don't. But I want to say this. I see that God's given you a gift of compassion, and with that, a gift of healing in Jesus' name. Use it for God's glory, because I see you being an agent of healing. I see you being a minister of healing through words, through laying on of hands, through friendship. And I just want to say to you, just believe God to see miracles, not just in your life, but in other people's lives as well. Amen. Come on, let's give a Lord a hand. How you doing, AJ? You doing good? Hey, welcome home. Welcome home. This is what I'd say to anybody like AJ who look at me now, as we're all still standing still. Anybody, just coming home to Jesus is the simplest and the most natural thing you can do. Do you know, when I was 17, I made a decision to get right with God. I'm so glad I made that decision. It forever changed my life. And then when I was 17 and a month old Christian, 17, you know, like a month old Christian, 17, I had to make another decision because I found the world pull me back again. I got to get right with God. I just got to keep saying yes to Jesus and saying no to the world. Yes to Jesus. And the pull of the world was strong on my life because the call of God was strong on my life. And I want to pray for people this morning. How many of the ultimate healing is someone giving their life to Christ? Amen. If somebody asked me, what would you rather see? Would you rather see someone come to faith in Jesus for the first time or see a believer raised from the dead? I'll tell you now, I'd rather see someone put their faith in Jesus for the first time than over a believer being raised from the dead. Now, that's not to say I don't want to see miracles of people being raised from the dead, and I have seen that. But what gives me the greatest satisfaction is what populates heaven. And I want to pray for you today. Look at me now as I close. Please, everybody, look at me. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? All over this building, from the very back row, way up the top there. Give me a wave. So I know, yeah. Wherever you are, from the left to the right, from this front row, from AJ, he's the closest, all the way through, are you a Christian? Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? How many know this is the most important part of this whole service? Of everything we've done in this service today, this is the most important part. So I want to give you a moment to you to make your peace with God. I'm going to ask you, if you say, Steve, I'm not yet a Christian. Steve, I'm not living for God. Maybe you're like my friend AJ. You just make a decision today, you're going to come home. Just right where you're standing, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take your hand and just put it in the air nice and high. High enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you. And church, would we not give God praise for every single person? Come on, would we not celebrate? And I just want to give every person that opportunity. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to close your eyes and bow your heads. When we do that, if you say, Steve, pray for me, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We're already standing. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand in the air so I can pray with you and for you. Amen, church? Can we close our eyes? Can we bow our heads? And friend, if that's you, and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want to come back to God. Just begin to lift your hand right now. Just lift it up nice and high. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Who else? God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Who else will lift your hand? God bless you right there. Who else? Come on, just keep lifting your hand if that's you. God bless you right there. Who else? Lift it up high enough and long enough. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Anybody else? Come on, friend. That God is all over this building. God is all over this auditorium. There's a hand way up the back. I see that hand. Anybody else? Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I don't want to miss out on you. My last call. God bless you. You're worth waiting for there, sweetie. Who else? Come on. Come on. Who else? There's another hand right there. Anybody else? My last call. 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. Come on. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, come on, put it up. There's another hand right there. Wonderful, wonderful. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? I know you've clapped, but come on, this is the moment. This is the moment. Everybody online as well, I'd encourage you, if you made that decision, why don't you click that button? I know our online campus pastor is already talking to you and he's giving you instructions. This is what I want to do. I want to pray for every single person who lifted the hand. Is that cool? Can we all pray this prayer together? Church, you're very quiet all of a sudden. Come on, can we all pray together? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray a prayer with you of salvation. Let's all pray it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Come on, I know you've clapped, but...